Good morning. I'm Dave Goodman, one of the deacons here at Pahrump Community Church. Welcome, and we're glad to have you with us. I'm filling in for Pastor Keith today as he is away, either did, is now, or will be preaching in Sierraville today at his son Pastor Caleb's church. And we are thankful that he's up there getting to spend time with his family. We are also thankful for Colton and Rachel's wedding today. We also have another announcement I'm able to give, and that is that Chance and Alexis Walker have had their child. And you can get all the details on the prayer chain. If you haven't already signed up for the prayer chain, please do so soon. We're not going to have the children's message, which actually is one of my favorite times because it's often something I can understand. So children, you are dismissed to go to your children's program this morning. One person was very upset this morning that we didn't have it. She filled out her sheet and turned it in to me, and thankfully somebody else had candy to give her. So things were covered, but she was still a little upset by that. Before we start, if you would, please pray with me. Heavenly Father, I am so thankful for this wonderful congregation that you have planted here in Pahrump. I'm thankful that we have so many people who willingly and joyfully step forward to help, especially on days like today when Pastor Keith is away. We are able to continue with the service. We are able to hear God's word. We are able to pray for one another. So I give special thanks to Kim, our Village Missions missionary, who was so helpful in putting together today's order of service. Lord, we thank you for that. I thank her for that. And I thank you for her graciousness that throughout the planning, she was able and willing to understand when I said, that's going to be a little too much for me. Can you find somebody else? And Lord, I thank you that she was able to reach out to other willing people to step up to do things like what we normally call the prayers from the pulpit. So I thank you for that. Thank you for Karen Crispell's work in the office, for preparing today's bulletin, for helping me put the study guide in a format that would work well for our people. Lord, I'm thankful for Leo Vath Jr.'s help in putting the slide presentation together so that we can have some visual references to help you track along with this message today. So many other people that I am thankful for, Lord. And I also want to mention and bring up Suzanne Fahey once again and keep her in our prayers regularly right now. She was such a wonderful servant here at this church. Moved recently to be with her family and now has this incredible medical issue that she's dealing with. Lord, we certainly pray for a full healing, a complete healing, but we leave this in your hands. And I know that she has faith in you, that she is close to you, and we thank you for taking her as one of your own. Care for her. In all these matters, not our will be done, but yours. Lord, today as we present this message, I pray that each person will receive exactly what they need to hear, and that possibly someone who has not placed their faith in you yet will come to do so today. Lord, that's my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Normally on the first Sunday of the month, which today is, we have our communion service. We're not going to do that today. I'm not going to be leading the Lord's service. This is not because there is some restriction or rule against someone other than an elder performing this ordinance. It's simply that I don't feel comfortable conducting it. And if I'm not comfortable, you could call it a weaker brother type of thing. My heart isn't in the right place to lead communion. There could be some pride involved, and I want to avoid that. So we're going to pass that until next Sunday when Brother Keith is back. The sermon today is titled, Living a Life Pleasing to God, with a subtitle of, Live Out Your Faith Openly. And I'm going to call it a message, not a sermon, because I'm not your pastor, but I'm going to be sharing God's word with you. And I pray that it is conveyed as God would like it to be conveyed. We may think that we've prepared ourselves for certain tasks, but the truth is, God is sovereign, and he makes sure that we are sufficiently prepared for whatever task he sets before us. CDI, which stands for Contenders Discipleship Initiative, was one part of the process of preparing me to give a message such as this. We're in the last course of the series of six classes. The current course is called Evangelism, Teaching, and Preaching. We've only just started into the sermon preparation portion and preaching portion of the class, so I tried to look ahead in the materials to get some idea of how to put this together and get some direction. I saw that we'd be working on a sermon in this course from two books in the New Testament. One was Ephesians, and that's the first one we would come to, and the second, our final sermon, would be from James. Initially, I started working in Ephesians chapter 5, but as Pastor Keith got into Hebrews chapter 11 and talking about the hall of faith, I realized that a section from James might work a whole lot better. So that's what I went with. In the bulletin today, you'll find a sermon evaluation form on the back of your study guide. You aren't required to complete this. However, I'm giving you an opportunity to be like a CDI student and critique my presentation today. You can fill that out and allow me to take a picture of it on your way out so that you can keep the form, or you can give it to Pastor Keith anonymously or with your name on it, or better yet, come to Dig Deeper on Wednesday at 3:30, and then we can talk it out face-to-face, and hopefully Pastor Keith will offer his comments on this presentation as well. So, with that risky offer having been given, let's get started. I remember several times where Pastor Keith has talked about how love is more than just an emotion or a feeling. Whether we're talking about God's love, as in John 3:16, or the love we might find for something like roses, there's not only the feeling or emotion involved, but there's also some kind of act or action, work or deed involved. If you love roses, then people will likely see you fussing over the plants, trimming them, fertilizing them, amending or appending the soil, working to reduce pests like aphids, mites, and beetles. People will see these things, these acts of love. In John 3:16, we read, quote, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life," end quote. And Jesus was a willing participant in his own sacrifice. With love, acts are performed that demonstrate that love. So I think this should be your first bullet point or fill-ins here. Faith and works are like acts that display that love. Faith and works are like acts that display that love. Instead of holding this thought until the conclusion, I'd like to start out by getting us thinking about how the relationship between faith and works that we find in Hebrews chapter 11 is like the relationship we find between love and the acts that display that love. So please keep that in mind as we continue. The James passages we will be reading seem to tell us that, or to live a life pleasing to God. Pastor Keith's conclusion on September 17th was to, quote, "fully entrust your life to God and live out your faith like Noah, where others will see it," end quote. That was further encouragement that I was going in the right direction. The central point of this presentation is live a life pleasing to God and live out your faith openly. It might also be correct to say that living out your faith openly is living a life pleasing to God. My purpose here is not to present any new information or new application that you haven't heard before. It is simply to remind us of what Pastor Keith has been giving us through God's Word and keep us thinking and praying along those lines until he returns. I'll also be examining the problem of understanding how faith and works are related. The safest way to present a Bible presentation is to read the Bible. So please open your Bibles to James chapter 1. I'll be starting at verse 1. And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version throughout. If I misread, you'll be able to catch my mistake in your own Bible. So starting with James chapter 1, verse 1, quote, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. To the 12 tribes in dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation. Because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flowers fall, and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. End quote. Here's the first main point of this presentation. We will face trials if we live a life that displays our faith in Jesus. The introduction to this epistle is important for giving us encouragement to live out our faith publicly. Now let's continue by skipping to chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. James chapter 2, starting with verse 14, quote, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warm and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have works.' Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Your next bullet point is faith apart from works is dead. Faith apart from works is dead." And here's the tie-in with Hebrews chapter 11, starting with verse 21 now in chapter 2. Quote, "Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God.' You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body, apart from the spirit, is dead, so also faith, apart from works, is dead." End quote. Throughout all of this discussion, it's important to keep in mind that works, our works, do not and cannot earn anyone salvation. This is the second main point of the presentation. Salvation is only by God's grace, as it is clearly stated here in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Between services, I realized that Tammy and Stephen Pittman had put that verse on the side here, so it just fits in nicely. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Quote, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." Next set of bullet points were, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." For by grace you have been saved through faith. I want to repeat, though, and emphasize the first half of verse 10. Quote, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, end quote. Last Sunday, Pastor Keith made it clear that Jesus was the creator of everything. This verse tells us that we were created by him, Jesus, for good works. Here are some other bits of scripture that seem to suggest that we are able to live out our faith, or that we are to live out our faith through works. Earlier in Hebrews, we read in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, quote, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Paying closer attention to what we have heard will lead us to work to avoid drifting. The picture being presented here is of a boat that's entered a safe harbor, but there's a current moving out to sea. If action isn't taken, then there's a risk of the boat being taken out of the safe harbor. What can we do to avoid drifting? Constantly rowing to stay into the harbor is one possibility, or better yet, we could set an anchor. Jesus is our anchor of the soul. If rowing, living out your faith, would keep the boat in the most perfect place in the harbor in this case, or close to God. Hebrews 9, verses 19 and 20 read this way, quote, we have this sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So the bullet points here are Jesus is our anchor of the soul. Let's go on to Hebrews chapter 6, verses 10 and 12 now. Quote, and we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. It's interesting that the Ephesians passage I was working in before switching to this one, chapter 5, talks about being imitators of God, and here this fits in quite well with this presentation also. Being sluggish implies a lack of deeds or works. It is being lazy or neglectful. We should be active imitators of the people listed in the Hall of Faith. Philippians 2:12 reads this way, quote, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now that's something of an odd phrase. Work out your own salvation. We were studying Philippians in one of the men's group recently, and I remember coming across this passage and having to work to figure out what it really means. The passage sounded like we were being directed to bring about our own salvation by working it out. I might use work out in this way, talking to my children. Adam, Sydney, you need to go work out your problem on your own. One of them might be listening right now, so you know what I'm talking about. But that doesn't fit, because we can read elsewhere in the Bible, considering Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 8, that we read earlier, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not your own doing. That idea or usage just simply cannot be correct. I had to consider other meanings. Most of the English Bible versions use a fairly strict word-for-word translation. Work out your salvation. There are places in the Bible where neither Hebrew or Koine Greek in the word-for-word translations has an appropriate meaning in English. This might be the case where one of the paraphrase versions could be more useful. The New Living Translation for this verse reads, work hard to show the results of your salvation. obeying God with deep reverence and fear. That seems to hit the point a little bit better, and it fits with the Ephesians passage. In this case, they seem to have done well with presenting the intended thought of this verse. The third main point of this presentation is that we should work to show our faith, or that works should be an outpouring of our faith. Pastor Keith has been covering the Hall of Faith from chapter 11 of Hebrews. Through their faith, and by God's grace, these people were saved. Having faith, they did things, works or deeds. They lived out their faith. As Pastor Keith stated, faith is not or should not be private. Others should be able to observe your faith. What were some of the works that people listed in Hebrews chapter 11 performed? Well, if we look at verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 11, we read that Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. He offered something. In verse 5, Enoch, now before he was taken, was commended as having pleased God. Doesn't say exactly what he did, but somehow he pleased God. Through his thoughts, his prayers, his actions, we don't know, but he pleased God. In verse 7, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed the ark. Hebrews 11, verse 8, Abraham obeyed, went out, went to live. All of these things are acts, actions, deeds, thoughts, prayers. Pastor Keith talked about how the trials that Noah might have gone through, talked about what he might have gone through, how his neighbors likely complained about this structure interfering with their view of the landscape. Think for a moment about what people were actually like in those days. This is how Scripture describes what mankind was like. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. The Lord saw that the wickedness was great in the earth, and that every intention of his thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. In verse 11, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly how people responded to Noah building the ark, but to say that they just complained might be mild. Considering verse 11 of Genesis, it states, the earth was filled with violence. I think it's reasonable to think that people may have attempted to tear down the ark or burn it, destroy it by some fashion. Noah or his family may well have received death threats or been attacked physically. And yet, through all of the trials that Noah actually did face, whatever they were, he was steadfast and patient. He endured. He persevered in faith through it all. He lived a life pleasing to God, and he lived out his faith openly. That's what we're all called to do. So before we close out, I'd like to ask you a few questions. Is your life characterized by acts that demonstrate your love for Jesus Christ? It's just a simple yes or no. You don't have to be like the people being interviewed in Congress. Are you living out your faith publicly? If you answer either one of these, or both of them, no, then I challenge you this week to think of ways that you can correct that. It may require or be facilitated by talking to a Christian friend that you trust. I'd like to offer a closing prayer. Heavenly Father, again, I am so thankful for this body of Christ that I am now part of. I pray that your words are working mightily in people's hearts. I pray that there is someone or many people listening today who are going to be drawn to you, who you are calling to yourself to be one of your own. And that possibly, if they pray along with me, that you will take them to be one of your children. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. We are all sinners and have fallen short of the glory of God. The penalty for that sin is death, eternal separation from you. And what a horrible thing that is. But you have given your Son, Jesus, as the payment, the propitiation, the atonement for all of our sins. And if we turn to Him in faith and with our hearts, believe that you raised Him from the dead, defeating death for all time, and that we confess with our mouth that you are Lord. You are Lord of lords, you are King of kings, and you alone have the power to save us by your grace. We leave ourselves in your hands, and we ask that you will help us turn around, turn away from our past sins, that we can repent. And you have forgiven those sins, and they won't be held against us by you anymore. Lord, help to continue sanctifying us, continually making us more like yourself. I pray that we can be imitators of those people of faith listed in chapter 11, and that through that action we will glorify you and not ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we leave, I'd like to offer James chapter 1, verse 12 as a benediction. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trials. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Amen.